I don't want him to cut her defense too much with Gromyko right quick, and he's coming down here trying to mislead you. Anyway, I said, why don't you let him start? Well, he said he'd go too far, and I said, no, we'll put a ceiling, 25,000. Let him get teeth washed and tapeworm out of them and teach him to get up in the morning. Even if they go back to Atlanta, they'll be better truck drivers, and yeah, I think they'll all go to Detroit and you get rid of them. He finally said, all right. I said, don't whip him all over there. Do you want to put him in the guillotine? And why are you so sadistic to have him come for you and Strom Thurmond? And he said, well, there's others against it besides him, but he wouldn't raise any hell. If you wanted to go ahead, you could if I'd agreed you wouldn't go over 12,000. I said, well, we'll go up to 12,000 for the first 6 months. And then he and I and you will sit down in the White House and look at what he's done with 6,000. And we'll pick the highest IQs we can that are in this particular group. And then we'll see what can be done with them, and we'll have a test program of 12,000. And I'm going to tell him, and I've talked to you, and you said that's all right. And he said, well, you just tell him that I can't speak for the rest of them, but that's all right with me.
All right, this means we can take in 12,000 in the first 6 months.
Yeah. No, you can't do it any quicker than that.
No, we can't. Absolutely not.
So you just
all right, now
you set up the McNamara program.
Right.
Your little daughter's going
to
be remembered for. And you get somebody that's the best you can, and let's see the best job we can do. Then I'll get the oil companies to make filling station operators out of them, cleaning windows, and I'll get the Lawnmower Association to do some of that, and we'll find jobs for them when they get out.
Right now, what do I have to do to get Russell's approval? Do I have to have a hearing, or can I...
No, I told him not to go through that. You just call him today and say, the president has directed me to proceed on a very low level, very experimental basis, not to exceed 12,000. He wants 25, but he said you cut it to 12, and I'm preparing to take some of the better ones that we've got, marginal cases, and put them in some of these places we're closing up, and if there's any goddamn way in the world you can, put them in some place that might be closing in Georgia, like Moody, that hasn't been designated, put a few of them in there. If you can't, you can add them to Benning or whatever you got, I don't know. But if you can't add them somewhere, we'll go on and do it where you ought to. But if you could give him a little Lanny up, I'd do it.
All right, I'll do that, Mr. President.
Right. Now go ahead on the other thing.
Yeah, I had my Inspector General, Major General Edmondson, call the President of Grumman directly. This is Mr. Clinton Towl, T-O-W-L, and relate to him what I understood were Reynolds' allegations before the committee, specifically that a Mr. Evans, who Reynolds alleged was president of Grumman, had paid two representatives of Vice President Johnson $100,000 and received assurance in return that the TFX contract would be awarded to General Dynamics and a portion of it thereby to Grumman. Towl said Evans was not president of Grumman. He is an executive vice president. And that, to Towl's knowledge, no payment was made by Evans or anyone else representing Grumman to anyone representing the government, and they never received any assurance that the contract would be awarded to General Dynamics prior to the date of the award. Edmondson also talked to Evans directly, and Evans reported the same story to Edmondson and further stated he had presented an affidavit to that effect to the Senate committee. We also talked to Roger Lewis, and President of General Dynamics, and Lewis made the same statement to Edmondson.
They never heard of it, did
they? Never heard of it.
Pure manufactured, all right.
That's all, Mr. President.
Now, what happened to her plane yesterday?
So far, very little public knowledge of it, and nothing other than the aircraft burned. There were three crew members. Two escaped with minor injuries. The navigator ejected from the aircraft and was killed. The weapons were destroyed, and representatives of the appropriate government safety agencies are on the scene now, and they detect no radiation.
Did the two that saved their life, what happened? They eject, or?
I think they jumped out of the aircraft and did not eject.
Just as it was landing or something?
No, it was taxiing on the runway at the time.
Oh. When this explosion
occurred. Yes, as I understand it, the gear collapsed, and the landing gear collapsed, and the collapse of the landing gear caused seams in the fuel tanks to break open, and fire started, and the aircraft began to burn, and the weapons burned.
Could we get a controller of the Defense Department or your computer to see how much of our defense budget is really not armament, but is housing and is increases in wages and the pay scales, pay raises, and fringe benefits, so I can tell Gromyko that it's really $3 billion of it's that, and we've saved another $1 billion below last year, and we're really $4 or $5 billion reduction instead of $1 or $2 billion, whatever the facts may show.
I think, Mr. President, the best way of expressing that is that compared to, if you're thinking of fiscal 66 versus some recent period, which I think should be fiscal 64, that in terms of expenditures, expenditures in 66 will be about $1.2 billion less than 64. The payments to retired personnel and increased pay to Defense Department personnel has added $900 million, so that the actual reduction is $2.25 billion in expenditures, fiscal 66 versus 64.
Give me a memo on that, Sparn.
All right, I will. Thank you.
Now, is there anything else that you know?
No, that's all.
Can you get with the... You're going where?
I'm going to take Healy out to SAC this afternoon, but Charlie Hitch is sitting right here with me at the moment. I'll ask him to send a memo to you on that subject meeting.
All right. Now, what was your summary now of where we are with the British?
Well, I think we're in trouble in a sense, Mr. President, because Wilson is going to make his speech in the House next week. And as he left Washington, or as he leaves Washington today, I think he's leaving with a feeling that he's going to put himself on the line before his public as strongly opposed to at least British participation in a mixed man force, and very likely any mixed man force at all. And I think between now and midweek next week, we ought to try to turn him away from that to the point where he just reserves his position on it, as he discussed briefly yesterday. But last night I got the strong impression he was moving away from the reservation to a negative position. Now, I think the Germans will pull him back toward a reservation. As you know, we sent a man last night to Paris to brief Schroeder today before he talks to de Gaulle.
Who went?
Ron Spears, of the State Department, a very bright, able man who is not one of this cabal, and who is very responsive to your own thoughts, and who was sitting in the background in many of those discussions and heard what you had to say. So we can rely on him completely.
All right, now what's happening in Vietnam?
Max is getting along reasonably well, I think, with Hoang and Khan and others. Sue, the president, in explaining the program you sent him back with, in insisting that they unify to a greater degree than they have before, that they push down their petty politics, particularly the Buddhists, and get behind the government. Now, Sue, who has some influence with the Buddhists, who has been a very weak supporter of Hoang, the premier, seems to be stiffening up a bit as a result of Max's statements to him. And Sue says that he will go back to the Buddhists and try to reduce the amount of criticism that they've been directing to the government.
We doing anything with labor or with Catholics or with students?
Sue says that Sue reported to Max that the Catholics are behind the government. We won't have any problem there.
What about the military? See, they're trying to throw Khan out this morning.
Max met with Khan and other military leaders, and they appear to have indicated support of the government. I think that the Young Turks, those under Khan, are definitely supporting Hoang. It's Khan himself who appears to be maneuvering in such a way as to weaken Hoang's power and perhaps throw him out, and Khan himself would move in. And I think that Max, having talked directly to all of the major military leaders, he had all of them in a, I think it was his house, either his or Westmoreland's house, and gave him the word directly and as firmly as I think you gave it to Max.
Now, Clifton says his term's up. He wants to go somewhere. He's highly satisfactory. For this reason, the average military is always trying to spend money. They got 15 people on White House communications and putting phones at every filling station. I might take a leak and outrageous stuff like that. And I'd like to keep him, but he apparently wants to go to some other duty, and he's highly satisfactory. You don't think there's any way we could keep him this year?
I think so. You mean 465?
Yeah.
I'll look into it, Mr. President. Just
assume. You can't. You get me a man that'll economize, and just tell them, and when they get ready to spend money, the answer is no. Just stop this. White House communication came in this morning with they want to send five people on some trip here in advance. That's the damnedest thing I ever saw. So I just want them to cut down their assignments and cut down their work, and I'll stay in the White House if I have to go through this. But I go. Somebody got out a rumor. I want to go to a ball game, so they send six or eight people down, and they track the attention of every reporter there, and they put them in phones for me to sit at a ball game. Now that's ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah.
I could get a phone in 1 minute by walking in to the stadium office. Why do I have to have phones out there with 100,000 people at a ball game? I didn't go. But is there any reason why I have to do that?
No, I don't think so.
How close do I have to be to a phone? Within 5-10 minutes, isn't that enough?
Well, it ought to be closer than that, but...
how in the hell do I ride to your house then?
Well, and there are mobile phones. I can't visualize you being in any place, in a ball game or any other place, that you weren't closer than 10 minutes to a phone. I think 2 minutes or something like that is a reasonable estimate, but there are cheap ways of maintaining that.
Well, okay, you just talk to Clifton and see if we can't keep him, and then see if you can't get somebody to make a study to cut down on some of these people at their time.
All right, sir. Fine.